If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, mybookie. Mybookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. This is the Zabe Cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. Thank you for downloading. It is great to be back. Back from the Malcolm, 23rd consecutive year of my guy's golf getaway to Southern Pines, North Carolina. Specifically, because you people ask, we stayed at Pine Needles and played Pine Needles and Mid Pines, their sister course, just across the street. And we had the most splendid weather and great time. And fun was had by all. Nobody died, although there was one injury that took somebody out of the competition. We also had drama before the tournament even began because, get this, one of the guys, one of the fellas who's been on this trip a dozen times at least and should have known that it's always this weekend, or at least it's been this weekend on the calendar for the last 10 years, said to the group 2 days before we pushed off, "Oh, the Malcolm, that's this weekend, huh? I thought it was next weekend." And we're like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yep." And we're like, "So you're not coming?" And he's like, "Nope." And that's why you saw my tweet saying, "Uh-oh, need a guy." And we got a guy. In fact, we got multiple guys. First of all, got my guy Brad Turner, who saw the tweet. He had been scheduled to be in on the tournament, but then couldn't go, but then he could because of varying circumstances at home, so he jumped in. But then a second guy went down in the last 48 hours before we were set to go down there because of a hand injury while playing golf. And I'm like, good Lord, is this trip cursed or what? So I had to go back to the well, and one of the guys who responded to my tweet saying, "Hey, I know who has the kind of free reign, time, money, and willingness to jump into a group of strangers, you know, to come play golf on a moment's notice. Well, I found the guy, Al Capesel from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, a construction supplies salesman to the stars. And he was great. Big Al, as we called him. Not a big guy, by the way, but a good golfer, steady golfer, got along great with the group. I'm like, thank you, God. We got two guys to fill in the last 48 hours. Now, I know somebody said we should start a website called nextup.com or nextmanup.com, something like that. And here's the concept. Let's say you love golf and you're willing to go anywhere to play on a guy's golf trip to fill in, to make the numbers even, to make the competition legit, and you just put your name out there. And there's a pool of people that for a fee somehow, I don't know how we'd monetize this, you could plug and play golfers from all over the country, guys, who just want to go see some cool places. Now, women would not understand this. Women would say, well, how would you know you'd get along with them? How, aren't you worried that they might... And you just go, shh, honey, it's guys. It's golf. Golf binds us. You're going to get along with just about any group of guys if you all speak golf. Long as you show up, pay up, and when necessary, shut up. Don't ask, don't suggest things like, hey, I think we should do it this way. No. Someone else's golf trip is not your democracy. It should be. All the good ones are run by dictators. Hopefully benevolent dictators, but dictators nonetheless. So, incredible weather, incredible group of guys. Just so very, God, did I need that chance to get unplugged and away from everything. It took me a while to get caught up to speed on what the hell is happening in the sports world. I loosely knew what basically happened. We saw a little bit of the games. We saw a little bit of the PGA Championship. But I was so busy golfing, eating, a little bit of drinking, entertaining the fellas, cracking jokes, cutting farts, cleaning up after messes, going to get food for the group, worrying about pairings, worrying about scoring, doing a little show on the Jumbotron in the main lodge, which was just a projector I had off of the TikTok shop and a big screen. And I literally had 10 minutes a day, maybe, of being on my phone to scroll, to look at the usual kind of content. And it was glorious. It was glorious to be unplugged from it. Because once I did dive back into the unrepentant cesspool that is social media and the media world in general for sports these days, not just on social media, but major big name commentators on ESPN and other networks like Fox Sports One, unrepentant cesspool. Or not unrepentant, it'd be unredeemable or irredeemable cesspool. Ugh, gross. And I'll get into that here today on the Zabecast. So, big shout out to my man Craig Urey of Pine Needles, who accommodated our group. We've been going down to Pine Needles Mid Pines not continuously for 23 years. We started there 23 years ago, and then we went and stayed other places for a period, but we've been back at that venue for some time. And I say this with great trepidation because I don't want it to become unavailable or unaffordable. But my God, people, if you love golf, yeah, Pinehurst, the resort, which has all the courses, the Disneyland of golf down there, it's wonderful. But it's so expensive. And if you want something a bit more affordable and you want something that is in many ways, I think, better, the courses are better, more interesting than what is available at Pinehurst, then guess what? Pine Needles Mid Pines. Pine Needles has hosted the U.S. Women's Open multiple times. In fact, might have been three times now already. It's a spectacular course. It was great when we first went there 23 years ago, but over the years they have done a lot of sort of redesigning of the way it looks and feels and plays and the tufts of grass and everything else. And so it is now a flat out supermodel. And it's got way more up and down and interesting holes and terrain than Pinehurst number 2, the most iconic and of course infamous course that everyone wants to play, host of the U.S. Open and everything else. And I'm not bad-mouthing number two. I'm just saying, honestly, Pine Needles is better. It just is. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. It is better. And it was in such good shape, my God. And the greens were so pure and so fast for a non-private golf course. I putted off the green and into a bunker on number one, not once, but twice. And this was after the USGA sent out a short video in which they said, hey, if this happens to you, you know, you're allowed to take a stroke and distance, unplayable lie, and just put the ball back right where it was in the green instead of having to hit a harder bunker shot. Now, of course, the greens at Pine Needles, as well as most of the courses down there, designed by the great Donald Ross, who loved the turtleback design where there was fall-offs and slopes around the edges of every green, which makes it quite strategic and challenging and also a pain in the ass, to the point where when people would chip up and the ball would slide off the green, we'd go, you got Rossed! So I putted off the green twice because I did it once just being oblivious to, hey, it's really fast and it slopes off down there. Oh, there it goes. Great. I tried it again two times in a row like a moron. But the courses were in immaculate condition. The weather was fantastic. And again, the staff there could not have been nicer. I pray that none of my knuckleheads did anything in any way to get us sideways with the people down there. And I highly recommend it, but don't go during our weekend. I mean, there was people there, obviously, but we love the place. And so cannot swear highly enough by it. And thank you, Craig Urey, and the staff down there at Pine Needles. We will see you next year. Same weekend, same place. Let's go. And I think I might have to require the full trip up front. Non-refundable, given the late cancellations this year. So, what's going on? Well, Sunday, we had the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler won Scottie Scheffler. The Live boys crumbled down the stretch. Maybe some boom boxes and shorts would have done them well, made them feel more comfortable. And then we had a couple of Game 7s on Sunday as well. They both turned out to be duds. And, well, now we're on to Monday. Oh, and of course, there's a new Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese racial diss track just dropped. Sweet. Great. Sweet. And the bickering on social media about what happened and who said what and why this is, it's outright embarrassing. So let's go ahead and start getting into it. Why don't we start with the Game 7s. Oklahoma City is through to the conference championship round against Minnesota. That series starts on Tuesday night. I looked ahead of the schedule. The Knicks and the Pacers game one is Wednesday night. And lo and behold, and maybe it's been this way for several years and I just didn't pay attention, or maybe the NBA's finally figured it out. Now that we're down to this round, it's eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Every other day we go, there's always a game on TV, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Far as the eye can see. Alternating for the next 14 days, if necessary, if both series go seven games. Denver put up a good fight, game fight. They just didn't have enough. Aaron Gordon was playing on one leg. They had, of course, fired their coach, so they're working under an interim. Pretty darn good run, all things considered, for Denver, a team that many had already thought was on the verge of being dismantled. I don't know about how much window they still have open, but geez, if I'm the owner of the Nuggets, I'd be spending a little bit of money to try to win one more. But we know that owner out there is not good. So OKC is through. Minnesota has a chance to finally, as a state, have a team that climbs into the championship round if they win this series against OKC for the first time, I want to say, since 91 in the Twins. So, yeah, this is going to be big for our boy Charch, and we're going to get him back on the schedule this week, so look forward to that. The Maple Leafs blow it and are out of the NHL Stanley Cup playoff. This now marks, when I saw these stats, I couldn't believe it, but I kind of believe it because I know that Maple Leaf fans have been long suffering. The Toronto Maple Leafs, after losing Game 7, are now 2-14 in series clinching games since 2018. 2-14 with a chance to clinch a series. So that counts more than just Game 7s. It counts Games 5s. It counts Game 5s and Game 6s in which they had a chance to clinch. And now they have lost 7 straight Game 7s. That's unbelievable. Panthers route them 6-1 en route to the conference finals. So, looking forward to the Final Four in both hockey and in the NBA. Now let's talk about this Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, latest dust-up. Season just begins in the WNBA. Of course, there's a lot of hype for Caitlin Clark, who does look like she's been lifting a lot. And, of course, Angel Reese considers herself to be at least the number two star or the B-side to the two faces of the WNBA. And maybe she is, maybe she's not. I don't know, but there's only one Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark fills buildings. Angel Reese is a good player, but also makes some of the worst layups you've ever seen. If you see one of the cut-ups of the worst of Angel Reese's layup attempts, oh my God, avert your eyes. But she's a good player. Give her that. She thinks she's on the level of Caitlin Clark. She's not, in terms of popularity or skill set or anything else, but that's okay. She thinks she has won a championship against Caitlin Clark, so good for her. But there is, of course, this white-black rivalry, which is now in the really the realm of being uncomfortable. It is right now at a dangerous spot, I would say. So, heard about this while playing golf. I didn't get to see it at the time. I finally saw it tonight when I got home. Somebody said, did you see the latest Angel Reese thing? I'm like, no, what? Oh, well, she two-hand shoves another player in the back, grabs a rebound. Caitlin Clark is shocked there's no call. And then before Reese goes to make a layup or try a layup, she does like an arm bar, kind of hack the arm. Pretty hard, but nothing that was like egregious. Angel Reese flops. Next thing you know, the benches are almost clearing and it's a big brouhaha. A brouhaha, a tussle, a Donnybrook, a bit, not a, no, probably not a Donnybrook, but it was a to-do. Or if it's the men's game and people aren't so obsessed and tied up with this racial angle, it's called just a basketball play. It's also called a horrible call. The referees that were looking at that should absolutely be demoted, suspended, or maybe just fire them. Be like Ace Rothstein in Casino. Bring him into your office and say, look, I don't know what's going on. Either you got money on the game or you're too dumb or blind to see a blatant foul. Either way, I can't have it. Jeopardizes the entire operation. So I kind of heard what the play was and imagined what it might look like when I finally get a chance to see it. And then when I see it, I laughed. I go, everything stopped. You got Angel Reese shoving an Indiana Fever player two hands in the upper back just to get a rebound. She gets the rebound. Caitlin Clark stops in her tracks. The other player stops in their tracks. Reese barely hustles to go get the now easy rebound. Caitlin Clark points at the ref on the baseline like, hey, you got to call that? And then realizing that, well, nobody called anything, and everyone's standing around flat-footed, the game resumes. Reese goes in for a layup, and that's when Caitlin Clark fouls her. Just a gobsmackingly idiotic play that the WNBA should be embarrassed actually happened. But the WNBA seems to be unembarrassable with how they operate. So, big to-do, and of course now, here comes the race baiters on television. And you know who they are. First of all, fans were now calling for an investigation because somebody swore they heard racial taunts in the aftermath of this because it was a Fever home game. The crowd after Angel Reese got the free throws and she missed the first one, and the place erupts. People are like, racist, you're cheering a missed free throw. Oh my fucking God, come on now. But after the incident, of course, here they come. So RG3 starts it out by siding with, of all people, Caitlin Clark. Wow. And that then brings Ryan Clark out of the weeds to weigh in, of course, on why this is wrong that another black man should ever take the side in a sports opinion when it comes to the WNBA and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Here is Ryan Clark.
Although when RG3 jumps on to the hate train or to the angry train and now follows along with what we saw from Keith Olbermann, what we saw from Dave Portnoy, as they poured on to Angel Reese to make her the villain in Caitlin Clark's heroic or hero story. The one thing we know about RG3 is he's not having conversations at his home about what black women have to endure in this country, about what young black women and athletes like Angel Reese have had to deal with being on. Although,
oh no, he didn't. Of course, RG3 is happily married to a beautiful Estonian sprinter that he met in college, and he ended up leaving his first wife to fall in love with. They now have what looks like a large, beautiful, mixed-race family. Looks like RG3, whether you think he's a cornball or not, is doing a great job as a dad. Or at least he's got a lot of kids who seem to love him. I can't hate him for that. I don't take his takes seriously, but now all of a sudden Ryan Clark is saying, yeah, it's because he's married to a white woman that he's blind to the ordeals that Angel Reese must endure. I think Angel Reese has some serious money coming in via endorsements. I believe she is well-liked, if not loved, by many people in certain demographic groups for her fashion sense and more. So I don't know what the enduring is, but RG3 then decides, oh, this is great. You want to come at me? I'm in. This is a 2 minute and 33 second response. You ain't got time for it. I ain't got time for it. Here's a little bit of it.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, RG3. And I just wanted to get on here and talk to you guys because there's been a lot of buzz, a lot of conversations.
Okay, get to the
about
point.
My sports take that Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark, which was purely based in basketball. But I think all of you know there's a line in life that you just simply don't cross. Wives and children are always off limits. And Ryan Clark has sprinted past that line. Ryan Clark didn't like my sports take that Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark. And that's fine. It's okay. It's part of the game. Sports media, I'm going to have an opinion. This person might not agree with it. That person might not agree with it. But what you don't do is turn around and personally attack me and my family just because you don't agree with a sports opinion that is purely based off the sport.
Okay, now he goes on for quite a while. The point is made. What I love is the end of this when RG3 drops the very pandering and condescending line in these kind of online arguments with, I hope you get the help that you need. I love it when people imply, well, maybe not even imply, when they pretty much say, You're sick. You need help. You need psychological help.
Sports opinion is a bad look for him as a man. I hope you get the help you need, brother.
I hope you get the help you need, brother. Somebody succinctly put this as, this is cornball on cornball crime between Ryan Clark and his stupid broche that spells out RC and Robert Griffin III. It's a cornball off between the two of them. Of course, when there's a cornball off, who's next to jump in? Ooh, Emmanuel Acho. He's like, this is where I'm good at. Let me get my take in on this.
This Ryan Clark, Robert Griffin situation. Two people that I call friend, regardless of how you might feel about them. Now, usually I make videos for the masses, for everybody, but this specific video is for people that look like me. So if you don't look like me, keep on scrolling, or you can eavesdrop in on a conversation that might not be for you. Yesterday, Robert Griffin, he seemingly attacked Angel Reese when he said, Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark. Robert supposes that he knows what hate looks like. Today, Ryan Clark responds and seemingly attacks Robert Griffin when he says Robert Griffin doesn't have conversations about the plight of black women in his own house, implying that because Robert's married to a white woman, he doesn't have these conversations. Here's where I realize we are 24 hours later. A black woman, Angel Reese, has seemingly been attacked by a black man, Robert Griffin. And a black man, Robert Griffin, has seemingly been attacked by a black man, Ryan Clark. So ultimately, what have we been left with? A black man and a black woman being attacked both by black people. So who's actually winning here?
Okay. Nobody's winning. People are just trying to get clicks and attention, and I guess I'm amplifying it. Ryan Clark did respond to RG3's video with bruh. He starts with a bruh. It's a good opening move right there. Bruh. Hit him with a bruh right to the... Bruh, you know what it is with me and you. I saved you the entire season on Monday Night Football. I urged people to let you be you. No matter how corny, how bad a teammate you were, I had your back. What did you do? You invite someone on your show you know I don't fool with to ask questions about me. And then hit me weeks later to tell me you're going to challenge one of my takes. You're a phony, bro, says Ryan Clark, one of the worst teammates I ever had, both on the field and in TV. But you got to do what you got to do. Aaron Torres, Fox Sports 1, I think succinctly says it as follows. I try not to criticize other media, but I got to say this coverage of the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark story is embarrassing. Was a nothing foul on a nothing play, and the discourse now purposely meant to divide fans along racial and or political lines. Gross, awful stuff. Ignore it. Well, we can't ignore it. And unfortunately, I just want to know, I would love to know what ESPN really thinks. Do they like Ryan Clark being entangled in these things? Is ESPN going to finally start shutting this stuff down? All these guys that they already pay millions of dollars to, even though they're the only game in town for the most part, they're bidding against themselves for the likes of Ryan Clark. All these guys have their own podcast properties, and I'm not going to knock that because you're listening to a cell phone product right now. But at some point, you'd think ESPN would say, listen, we're not doing this. We're hemorrhaging viewers. Our reputation is continually tattered. We need to get back to sports, get back to here's the game, here's the highlights, here's a show to make you feel good about sports and the higher virtues and higher values. Now, maybe I'm naive. Maybe ESPN has no intention of that. Maybe ESPN is in a race to the bottom and they are winning that race to the bottom. Maybe nothing has changed. I know what you're going to tell me next. Well, this is why I don't watch ESPN. I understand. At times, I loathe punching in 206 on my DirecTV because I know what ESPN has become. But it's not just that easy to go, well, I'm just not going to watch ESPN. Where am I going to get my highlights? I still do want to watch Van Pelt Center, the best thing going on a nightly basis on that network, where it is just sports, where they can laugh in a good, self-deprecating way at times about themselves and about the sports we watch and love. I mean, I can't just get rid of it entirely. When they're not offering up bad takes, ESPN still has the biggest team of editors, the biggest library of highlight footage. And so that's where I'd like to go to get my sports. I can't just say I'm not going to watch ESPN. There have been periods where I've avoided it. And then I realized you are informationally and sports highlight-wise malnourished by not watching ESPN. You can't avoid it. So what does ESPN think about Ryan Clark and getting entangled in this? I think some thought they got out of the RG3 business because he's the king of these kind of corny, unproductive side posts on social media that are distracting to the brand at large. Don't know. They did just re-sign Ryan Clark like a year ago to a new contract. I would just love to know what they really think at this point. Of course, what's even funnier is that Dave Portnoy is the biggest Caitlin Clark fan out there, or one of the biggest Caitlin Clark fans out there, with no real connection to Iowa. He just has decided he's going to, you know, make her, that's, he's going to rep Caitlin Clark big time on everything. And of course, he loves placing huge, outrageous wagers. And so he bet 25 grand on a Caitlin Clark triple-double against the Chicago Sky, and it hit at plus 1,300. So 25 grand plus 1,300, winner, winner, chicken dinner, winner, winner, chicken dinner, $350,000. He got it in part because Caitlin Clark was put back in the game just to get the triple-double. Some fans even want an investigation on this. This is hilarious. Jack Mack from Barstool says, the WNBA's biggest issue is that a huge portion of their fan base has never watched sports before. Everyday things in other sports leagues result in calls for investigations. It's a nice little experiment to watch. Meaning that everyday things that happen in the WNBA, if it was another sports league, would wash down the river. But somehow, these little things that just happen in the WNBA, we got to have an investigation. Here's one. Caitlin was caught on broadcast telling Stephanie she needed one more rebound for a triple-double, and so the coach put her back in. This is literally illegal. Literally illegal. Another one. You need to take a closer look at why Clark was pressuring her coach to be let back in the game when they were up over 20 points. It resulted in Portnoy placing a bet for a triple-double, and he won over 300 grand. And then they at the WNBA Players Association, and they at the commissioner. Yes, let's investigate. Oh, here's the stat on it. The $350,000, he made more money on that triple-double wager, Portnoy did, than any WNBA player will make on the court for all of the 2025 season. The max salary in the WNBA is $249,244, which, by the way, is not bad for 4 months of work, but it ain't NBA money. And the ladies think they deserve NBA money. It's basketball, right? We should get what they get, right? It's the same thing, basically, right? And you try to explain, if you were to try to explain to one of the WNBA players who think they should earn on par with the men, how economics work and markets and viewership and sponsorship dollars, and they just go blah 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 blah, money, we want more money. Oh, if a lockout comes, if a strike comes in the WNBA, that'd be the funniest thing ever. PFT commenter has a Mount Rushmore of takes he's seen from this incident. Number one, Caitlin Clark should be arrested for getting a triple double. Number two is, what if Angel Reese had gotten killed? Number three take, he said, is Caitlin Clark is racist. Number four take is Caitlin Clark is not racist enough. There's your Mount Rushmore of takes on it. I guess it's good for business. I don't know if it adds to viewership. I'm not watching any WNBA games. I'm watching the NBA as it steams towards eeny, meeny, miny, moe every other day we go. Also, for the record, now that Denver is out, the NBA will have gone 7 years with seven different NBA champions. This is bad data for those who still believe the league is utterly rigged and thoroughly managed when it comes to market sizes and outcomes. And I'm not saying that it's on the up and up, the NBA. I do think the lottery was completely fishy in the way it went to the Mavericks, and of course, after they traded away Nico Harrison, traded away Luka Doncic. But it's bad data to say, well, the league is rigged. But then how come they're letting, you know, they're spreading it around? These playoffs look like they're pretty much fair on the up and up. that there is no maneuvering to try to get either Boston or LA through to the conference finals, at least, if not into the NBA finals. LA was going to be a very hard push because they just weren't very good and not playing very well. But also, Boston, probably you couldn't push them after they lost Tatum. So, but still, it's an interesting counter narrative to the NBA is rigged. Well, how come they've had seven different, no other league, I don't think, in pro sports can boast that kind of a streak, 7-7. But there it is. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job post seen on other sites, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. Want to know how fast Indeed really is? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. To the PGA Championship, Scottie Scheffler wins with the Scheffler chokeout down the stretch. He choked out the field while his biggest competitors just choked on their own spit or something gross like that. I didn't really think that one out. Rahm and DeChambeau had a chance down the stretch. Rahm the best chance because he tied Scheffler mid-round on Sunday, but then fell apart over the green mile the last three holes, actually last four holes. Made a mess of it all, and Scheffler was rock solid down the stretch. Scheffler said at one point he had hit several really bad drives for him that were all left. And he couldn't understand what the hell was going on. He said he asked his caddy, Ted Scott, like, I don't understand it. Why are these balls going left? And according to Scheffler, he said his caddy just goes, well, why don't you aim a bit right? Aim a little bit more to the right. So I did. Started hitting the fairway. Scheffler, as we see more and more of him, this is his third major now. He has been on an absolute winning rampage over the last 18 months since Rory McIlroy told him, hey, bro, maybe you should try a mallet-style putter. Everyone's using them. They're just better than a blade. At the time, Scheffler was in a wicked, terrible putting slump. And, boy, since that suggestion, maybe Rory should have kept that to himself. Maybe Rory should have told him, oh, come on, Scotty. You're too good to use a mallet. That's for us losers. Can't putt. You're good, though. You've got nerves of steel. You don't need a mallet. That's for old men. Come on. You just keep practicing. You'll get the hang of it. He's using a terrible putter. Oh, my God. I hope it keeps up. Otherwise, we got no shot. I posed a question to my golf nerd buddies. I said, what if Scotty Scheffler's not even the best he's going to be right now? What if he gets even better? Somebody responded with, well, he doesn't need to get better. And I'm like, I know he doesn't need it, but how do we know when he's peaked? What will peak Scheffler look like? Personality-wise, he is so different than Tiger Woods and like most other tour players because he is so unbelievably just, what's the word, humble? He's just a dude. He's just normal. That's the word, normal. He is resoundingly normal as a guy. He spent a good 10 minutes on set with Live From on the Golf Channel after the win. Very candid conversation, just a relaxing conversation. It wasn't like an interview. And I don't know if other golfers have done this. I got to try to think about this. If you know if this is now a thing, I thought it was great. It was just great to have the winner sit down and go, yeah, well, here's what I was thinking, answer questions. Every answer was just so basic and normal. He said, Scotty says, oh, I play the game because, you know, I love to compete and I love to figure things out. He says his happy place is on the range practicing his game. He loves to figure things out. And that's, of course, his superpower is that he just loves doing it. And he's so grounded. Yes, he showed some emotion after he won. Rips off his hat, slams it to the ground, big old hug to his caddy. About the most emotion you're going to get. But other than that, he doesn't turn into this blubbery mess like a lot of golfers. I won another major. This is so great. My life is going to be so changed forever. His life is so relentlessly normal. His relationship with his beautiful bride, Meredith, is so normal. He says it feels like we're still in high school because that's when they met. That they just kind of do things as young adults would do, but with a kid now. And the funniest part of the PGA Championship, and you might have seen this, maybe not, you should look it up. Apparently Scheffler has a deal with Meredith at golf tournaments that as soon as he's done, as soon as he hit his last shot, tapped in his last putt, and he exits off the 18th green, win or lose, or winning a major, which he did here, his deal is, Meredith is like, I've had this kid all day carrying around. Here, arms out, you take him. And so Scotty does, without complaint. And he's one of the top athletes in the world. Best golfer on the planet by a wide margin. Here, I'm done with this kid. You have him. So, in keeping with their routine, where that's the way it is, he takes his son, Bennett, who's just over a year old, 18 months, something like that, into the scorer's tent and plops Bennett down on the floor because the kid can sit up at least. And the kid's getting a little bit distracted. Young little Bennett's getting a little bit distracted, a little bit rammy, a little bit
rambunctious. So Scotty has to take his hat off, and he gives his son a hat that occupies his attention for a couple minutes, which was key because Scheffler needed to do one last thing to make sure his win was official. Count his scorecard and make sure it's correct and sign for it. Because believe it or not, you can and still will get disqualified for signing an incorrect scorecard, even at a major championship that's televised on TV, that has a million eyes watching it, that knows exactly what he shot and that he was the winner. You still have to sign it. Why do they do this? It's a bit of a long story, but if I could boil it down, it basically says the rules of golf have to apply to all levels of competition. And other than the PGA Tour and majors, most competitions don't have that finality, or they don't have the television backup to confirm what a player shot. That you sign your score, that is part of the gentleman's game, that you are attesting with your signature, this is what you shot. And so therefore, if another person can say, well, wait a minute, you had a five on that hole, not a four, then you have committed a great act of shame and dishonor. Or you made a mistake, you fucked up, and you signed the wrong card. But it prevents soft cheating, because the way to cheat would be in a lower competition is just, oh, I had a 72. And you sign your card, and if nobody's paying attention, you can get away with it. And if you think, well, who would do that? Oh, you've never played golf before. Never met people who do that kind of stuff. So that's why they still make the pros sign their card and attest to it, and they swap cards. So it's a pretty important thing, because once upon a time, one of the most famous incidents, Roberto DiVincenzo lost the Masters, or at least he missed getting in a playoff because he signed the wrong scorecard. Yeah. So Scheffler, with one last important thing to do, sign his scorecard, where he should not be distracted with is my son, who's an 18-month-old toddler. Is he okay on the floor? Is he dealing with, is he fussy? What's going on? Is he putting a bug in his mouth? There's a photo of this with Scheffler turning around, taking a quick look, glancing back at his son playing with his hat, as he then turns back to go sign his card. It's so resoundingly normal. Scheffler also said that his wife Meredith said, well, I don't want you cluttering up our house with all your golf trophies. Which some might say, well, it sounds like she's a bitch. No, she's not. I think she's a real sweetheart. But I think her point was, I want a nice, tidy house that looks nice, that like a house. You can have all your golf trophies in a golf room. I think she also realizes he's so fucking good that she had to lay down the law. Otherwise, they won't have a house. They will have so many trophies, so many plaques, so many things. You'll be tripping over them. But Scheffler is just amazing. Now for Rahm. This was the discussion that went around with the guys down at at our golf trip. Rahm got duped by somebody somehow into leaving for the LIV Tour. And I said it then, I'll say it now. How much money do you need? Because the delta or difference between what Rahm was going to make anyway on the PGA Tour as a superstar was so much so that he's set for multiple lifetimes. You set your kids up for multiple, your kids' kids up on top of that, which I would also argue is more sometimes of a curse than a blessing, leaving your kids a pile of money. You ever known a trust fund buddy? Do you say to yourself, wow, they really made something of themselves in their life? Or is it more likely to go, yeah, I've got a few guys that had trust funds. They're fun to hang around with. They paid for everything. But then I would see them on a Tuesday at noon. They'd be hammered. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm working on some things, man. Okay, must be nice. So how much money do you need? Rahm signs a, what, $600 million deal, the biggest signing LIV Tour got. They thought it was going to be the brick that crumbled the PGA Tour wall, and that pretty soon the dam would break and more guys would come over and that's it. And the Saudis would get what they want, which is a seat at the table, and they'd force the LIV boombox and shorts tour to coexist within the PGA Tour structure. And then it didn't happen. In fact, they've only signed the LIV Tour minor additions since Rahm joined. Rahm still has the talent to get in there and to slug with the big boys at majors, even though he's playing a diminished clown circuit on a every other week basis with the LIV. But does he have the steel testicular fortitude to bring it home down the stretch? And at least this week, the answer was no. And so it's got to burn Rahm's ass. It's got to tear at him inside thinking, what have I done? Why? I should not have done this. He even said, Rahm, this is the most, even though he lost, and he was gracious in losing, he said, look, even though I made a mess the last four holes, this was the most fun I've had on the golf course in months. Yeah, because you're playing against the best in front of the biggest crowds for a shit ton of money still. And you're going to go back to playing on the LIV Tour. Now, the LIV Tour is coming to D.C. I might try to go to it on the D.C. area. It's actually in Virginia. It's out at Robert Trent Jones Golf Course, which I was just there last fall to watch the Solheim Cup. So I don't know if I need to go back out there. But I do want to see it once in person before the whole thing folds, which it is going to fold soon. But if you're Rahm and you want to play against the best and you took all this money to go to LIV and it's boomboxes and shorts and the same 50 assholes you play against every week, of which there's 12 really good players and then the other 38 are just dudes in an ocean of good golfers, great golfers, insane golfers, and there's more out there coming all the time, you got to say to yourself, what am I doing? Because after D.C., he'll be on some private jet out to Malaysia or the Philippines or Australia, and he may not want to go. He might be hurt. Elbow might be sore. Something might be going on at home with his young children. But guess what? Got to do it. No choice. You sold your soul. And, yeah, you'll be playing in front of some people, but not nearly as many. Not on the biggest stage. Now, Rahm will get two more chances this year because he's qualified for the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. But that's it. Four events a year. And then the Ryder Cup. Technically, he was supposed to not be eligible for the Ryder Cup, but they have kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, said, yeah, he's going to be on there by hook or by crook. The PGA of America sets the rules on this. Well, actually, I think the Europeans might be the ones that decide if they're going to let a LIV guy on their team. And I think they are. Don't quote. I should know this. It's sort of gray right now, but everyone knows he'll be on the team. Speaking of guys who are going to be on the team, Rory's going to be on the team, and Rory didn't speak at all this week. 0-for-4 of media availability because he barely made the cut, was a non-factor the entire week after everyone thought he was the odds-on favorite because he's won four times at this very golf course. And they don't make guys talk. Even though he was requested to come to the media tent, he chose not to. And one of the storylines that came out of the PGA Championship was non-conforming drivers. Not illegal per se, but non-conforming. That the drivers come off the manufacturing line conforming to USGA standards in terms of its height, in terms of weight, spec, performance, etc. But then over time, the players hit the driver so much and they hit it so hard, it actually kind of wears down the titanium face of the driver and makes it a micrometer perhaps thinner. And so the ball then starts coming off a little bit hotter by maybe 1 mile per hour of ball speed. And so therefore they become non-conforming and they have to be taken out of play. It is not an intentional way to try to cheat. The last thing these guys need is more yards. But it's something that the PGA Tour is trying to do to, you know, keep people in compliance. Apparently Scheffler's driver was tested and was deemed to be non-compliant, so he had to throw away the head and get a new head for it. Did it seem to affect him? I don't think so. Of course not. But Rory would have been an interesting guy to hear from, having just won the Masters. With this issue coming up, I know you're not near the lead. I know you're not required to talk. But come on now. Rory once said tour players need to give more interviews to be more accessible. This tweet from Jason Sobel, he said, quick take on McIlroy not speaking with the media after any of his four rounds. Last year at Pebble, following his pre-tournament presser, He stood with a group of reporters for 45 minutes and spoke about the need for PGA Tour players to be more accessible. He'd recently been to an F1 race and saw how many interviews the drivers gave, both directly before and after the races. There was some clarity, Rory told us, writes Sobel, that golfers should hold themselves to similar standards, including and especially the superstars. Yeah, well, Rory at times can be a petulant little bee, can he? Which is why I'm on the Rory train, I'm off the Rory train, I'm on it again, I'm off it. Drives me crazy. And then there's Wyndham Clark. If you haven't seen this clip, you need to look it up. Wyndham Clark hit a drive he didn't like. What was it? Was it a pop-up that went 50 yards? Did he snap hook it into a parking lot? Did he dribble it up? No. It just kind of lost a leaky little fade that went into a bunker. Well, Wyndham Clark, frustrated, turned and flung his driver at full force at the sort of the billboards behind the tee box, and it snapped. Huge outburst. Was not DQ'd for this. Now, this is a touchy subject in golf in which some people believe that you shouldn't DQ people for acts of anger. I'm now of the mindset, and yes, I get angry myself. I will throw a club from time to time. So I'm not coming at this from the point of holier than thou. I'm just saying the PGA Tour needs to get their arms around this. This was a violent and potentially dangerous act by Wyndham Clark that could have injured one of the marshals who was behind the tee box at the time. There was no fans nearby, but the driver snapped. That head, that shaft could go anywhere. Unacceptable. Don't just fine him, which I know he will be. DQ him on the spot. Get a rules guy to go, we got an incident here. Show him the video on TV. If it's serious enough, and it'll be a judgment call, boom, done. Well, you can't do that. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. Nothing that says you can't. Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark, the guy that won the U.S. Open at LACC 2 years ago, had not finished better than T84 in the handful of majors before he won, and has not finished better than T33 in a major since then. The same Wyndham Clark, right after he won his one U.S. Open, and the tour was creating all these elevated events for the best players, and he was now inside the ropes of this easy money cash grab, and the best players get all the money. He actually said, I like it. I like this system. I think we should go to a leaner, meaner PGA Tour. Yeah, now that you're in the inside of it. Guy hasn't done shit since then, and now he's chucking drivers, having them snap behind him. Absolutely ridiculous. Let's end on this. One of the best things about the golf trip that I organize is certainly not the golf. It's not the golf courses, not the weather. It's not the Fireball and Diet Cokes, which I had more than a few out there. It's not occasionally hitting a shot that you can say yourself, you know what? That was as good as a tour player could hit, that particular shot right there. That chip, that drive, that recovery shot, that putt. No, no, no. None of that compares to the good karma that sometimes crops up almost out of nowhere. So I have a guy on the trip, been on the trip for a number of years. Kevin Workus is his name, the Desert Fox. And he's originally from Michigan. This year, I invite another good friend, my guy, Eric Rezenkowski, a.k.a. Rezzer. You've heard him here on the... He's the car guy who's on the pod. And he comes along this year. He ended up blowing out his elbow, playing through severe pain and jacked up on painkillers and probably ill-advised, but he was having a great time. I don't blame him for it. Hope he's going to be okay. Rezzer, of course, being in the car business forever, having owned and run car dealerships since he was pretty much 18, 19 years old, now does consulting in the car business from Michigan originally. He meets my friend Kevin for the first time on the first day. Hey, how you doing? Eric Reznikowski. Oh, yeah. Kevin Workers. Oh, yeah. I saw that you're from so-and-so, and or I heard that. Yeah, I'm from, you know, here in Detroit. Or I'm from here in Michigan, outside Detroit, whatever. They get to talking. And Kevin tells a story about how, yeah, you know, my father, before he passed away, he had just taken a lease out on a new Dodge Charger because he wanted a supercar, wanted a big, fast, meaty American car. As he was getting up there in age, had no idea that he was going to die suddenly 6 months later, but he does. And I had to go into the dealership to say, hey, I know that we have no legal right to unwind this lease, but what is there anything you can do? My father passed away suddenly. And it turns out that the dealership Kevin went to do this said, yeah, you know what? Okay, we normally don't do this and really don't, you know, don't talk about this too much, but we'll go ahead. We'll absorb it. We'll get the car. We'll sell it to somebody else or lease it to somebody else. Let's get you out of this. You know, you're grieving over your father. It's the right thing to do. When Rezer told him the dealership, or I think when Kevin said it was at this dealership, that's when Rezer was like, yeah, I know. I was the GM there at the time. I remember that deal. They had never met face-to-face because Rezer was kind of behind the scenes. He was in the back office. The sales guy who dealt with it took it, the information back to Rezer and said, hey, what are we going to do for this customer? And Eric, being the good guy that he is, the last honest car salesman, car guy in the world, I say, not quite the last honest one, but one of the few honest ones and good ones. There are good ones out there, but he said, yeah, we got to do right by this particular customer. We're going to do right by the community. This is how we're going to do business. And so he unwound the deal. And that was such an amazing thing that those two had been brought together by this silly little golf tournament, this little golf getaway, guys amongst guys meeting each other for the first time. I loved it. He definitely bought him a few drinks over the weekend to say thank you, my friend, my new good friend. Of course, my thought was, holy shit, did I dodge a bullet there? What if Rezer was unable to unwind that lease? And what if he had to say, I'm sorry, but the customer's just going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to eat it. No escape. And what if my buddy Kevin still spat the name of that car dealership out of his mouth every time it came up? And then what if he sees him? And for the first time, he's like, yeah, you're the guy that didn't let me get out of my dad's lease after he passed away. That, my friend, would have been an awkward 3 days together. But thankfully, it was not. Oh my God, look at the time. 56 minutes of me rambling on about some things that many of you don't give a shit about. Your golf trip. The PGA Championship. Caitlin Clark. Hey, I gave you what I wanted to talk about today. There'll be more shows later this week. I know, I took a day off. I did notify you on Twitter. I put a post up with a little short little video of me comically trying to hit it out of one big old clump of monkey grass down there at Pine Needles into another clump of monkey grass. Boop, boop. So stupid. I put the video up. I said, hey, I'm off Monday. I thought I had done what I needed to do because I had been chastised in the past for just taking random days off. And I get it because sometimes people expect this podcast in their feed 4 days a week and then Fridays as well if you're a subscriber. So when it doesn't show up, a lot of times people think their feed is messed up or they've got a setting wrong or what's going on here. And so they do a lot of troubleshooting when they would at least like to know, hey, there just wasn't a podcast. So I notified people the best way I know how, Twitter. And then I get this. This one tweet says, we appreciate the late update, but a schedule in advance would be more professional. I don't know if this guy's just trolling me or not. A schedule in how far in advance, sir? A week? A month? Where am I posting this schedule? In the break room? On Google Calendars? Facebook? Instapage? All the places? What? Really? We appreciate the late update, but a schedule in advance would be more professional. Well, then, Tell me what you paid for today's entertainment. That's right, nothing. And you got what I gave you at damn near midnight on a Monday night after I drove 6 hours home from North Carolina, sunburnt, hungover, and a bit melancholy at the fact I've got to wait a whole another 362 years for this wonderful thing to happen again in my life. And you, sir, are accusing me of being not as professional as I could be. Okay. I will see you tomorrow, folks. Bring your criticism. Bring your support. I'll hear it all. But if you're trolling me, just send a follow-up tweet to go, I'm just kidding you. I'm just trolling you there. But, I mean, how many days in advance do I need to tell you? That's all I... There are days coming up. I'm taking more vacation, I know. So, I guess I got to put that on the schedule. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have yourself a Cracker Jack Tuesday. And as always, we will see you next time.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.